Oh yeah, my sofa. Final show. Yeah. Enjoying.
The sofa tonight, is that?
Yeah, that's it. It's history. That thing's going to be in the morning. Absolutely gone. Yeah, so rude awakening. Wife just called me. Remember, Chris, sofa has to be out at 6 in the morning.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening.
You're listening to episode 49 of Sappening Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my moderate to bad friend, Mo Rich.
It's
formerly
me.
Formerly known as Morgan Richards.
No, it's me, Morgan Richards, and I know it's obvious, but I am casually dressed, and we're about to have a deep conversation
Bob's not even involved in this week's podcast, but he's in the room, and he's upset with that pun. Look at him, he's shaking his head.
It had to be done.
Did it? Look.
Because it's all the range.
The range isn't, what? All the range. It's a place where women go to buy stuff. You mean all the range?
Yeah,
You fucked that up. You were so eager.
I could sense
you were so eager to get that out, and you fucked it up, and I hate it.
I hate myself a little bit too, but
you
anyway.
Because if you did, you'd stop. Look, that's what I think of you. And that's it. That's in the podcast. That's the first live fart we've had on a podcast. Stop doing puns or I'm going to keep farting into the mic. And that's just rude.
Anyway, episode 49 of Sappening Podcast, and we're recording this backstage.
Yes.
In London's O2 Shepherd's Empire.
In O2 Shepherd's Bush Empire.
That's the one.
That's where we are. Jesus
We're
Christ.
Mad.
Oh my God.
It's been a long couple of days, okay?
It has been a long couple of days. Yeah. Our guest this week is the absolutely brilliant guitar virtuoso and founding member of Funeral for a Friend, Chris Roberts.
Yes, correct. And I'm very happy about this.
Yes, me too. Me too. What a guy. What a guitarist. What a band. What? I don't know what I'm doing with it then. Just saying what. But yeah. Yeah, we had Chris on and we talked a bit about everything from the band starting, how they got gigs in the beginning, how they met each other, how they met other people in the South Wales scene, through to the recording process, what his favourite record is.
Yeah, we literally dive into all different elements and catalogues, really, of Funeral for a Friend and everything in between. And of course, we recorded this at the special one-off reunion shows.
Yeah, this could possibly be the last ever Funeral for a Friend show ever tonight. That hasn't happened yet. But by now, by the time people are listening to this,
it will
has happened.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's after tonight, isn't it?
So, of course.
Yeah, don't look up in the air like you're trying to work out when this is. It's not coming out tonight, is it?
No.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so this might be the last ever Funeral for a Friend show. So it's going to be emotional.
Yes.
I was lucky enough to play last night with them in Irplas in Cardiff, which was amazing. It's been amazing being at all these three dates, and yeah, I've just been chuffed to the fact that I've got to relive my youth and be in the mosh pit. As we mentioned in the interview, this is the second time this year I've come out of mosh retirement.
You have?
So thank you very much to Funeral for a Friend for having me at these shows and letting me attend, because there was a time when I thought maybe they won't because I'm so annoying.
Possibly, but it has been a great couple of a few days. Yep. You and the boys and Raiders have, I don't know why, but let me tag along with you. And
well, yeah, I don't know why now.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry.
Looking back at it now.
Well, I did buy you all donuts on the first day, that so was that's, very that's kind probably of
you. That
why.
That was very kind of you, and you will be invited back in the future for that reason.
Only for donuts.
Only for donuts. Which
Bob's
is,
agreeing in the corner as well.
Which is so. Now your new band name, Only Donuts.
No, but it's been a great atmosphere here. It's been really emotional, and yes. just love has been pouring from every
orifice. He said orifice, I said orifice,
and then I followed.
Yeah,
it's hard doing with Bob in the room because I know I'm gonna mess up. Yeah, I know Bob is
literally I've done 48 others of these with you, right, and I feel tension from you from you with me being in the room. With Bob being, yeah, I can feel the added... I can feel that you might fuck up at any moment and you were worried that Bob is going to absolutely chop your head off.
Yeah, yeah,
no, I get it. He's trying to be silent. We should, do you know what we should do? We should do more of these intros, right, where we just pretend somebody's in the room. Oh, look, Tom DeLonge's turned up, but he's not saying a bloody word. Oh, he loves aliens. Look at him. He's, you are, you've seen... You've seen a new spaceship lately? Oh, what's it look like? Oh, very white. As Bobman doing mimes as if he's Tom DeLonge. This podcast has gone mental very, very quickly.
What I'm trying to say, though, is these shows have been for a very special reason, and it's just been wonderful to see all the love from everyone, and it's just been absolutely beautiful. So, Sean, can you tell all the listeners, if they're not aware, what these shows were about?
So Film for a Friend... as we all know, had gone on permanent hiatus up until about 3 months ago, when a mutual friend of ours, Stuart Brothers, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. So the Funeral for a Friend boys, being as big-hearted and lovely as they are, decided that they wanted to make as much money for Stu and Stu's family as possible. So decided to do these three shows where all of the money made goes to Stu's family. So they've also set up a Just Giving page. If you go to justgiving.com/crowdfunding/4BigStu, I believe, hopefully you can still give towards the cause there. Last time I checked, they were on £8,600, which is awesome, but I know we can all do better than that.
Yep.
And all of these shows and all the merch and everything they're doing is going to Stu's family. So it's a beautiful thing from the boys. It's a beautiful cause for somebody who was genuinely a beautiful, beautiful person. Mm. So
yeah, it's just been really touching atmosphere here. And as Sean said, and make sure to head over to that Just Giving page as soon as possible while it's still up and get involved with it as well.
Yeah, if you can spare anything at all, please, check it out, because it's going to go into trying to make things a little bit easier for his family going forward.
Yes,
as easy as things can be when something as catastrophic as this has happened.
Yeah, but as we've already mentioned, these last couple of days have been incredible. Sean's come out of mosh retirement. I even did a mosh at the second Carver show, woke up in the morning and I felt like...
Well, you moshed so hard you fell asleep, or you moshed so hard you knocked yourself out?
No, basically, no, I did the mosh and then the gig ended, then I went home and I went to sleep. But then when I woke up in the morning...
Ah, there you go.
Right, I hadn't moshed in so long, I think like mosh muscles had come back, and then like...
Mosh muscles? I've never heard of muscles.
Muscles?
Muscles,
fuck,
I've never heard of muscles.
You're picking up everything today.
Yeah. Well, you have bangover, did you?
Bangover, yeah.
Yeah, you had bangover.
I can't imagine what it would have been like for you guys, because...
I've got a wonky neck all day today. Yeah, I can't look right. I've got to go a full 180 left if I want to look right.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I've got to spin around like Michael Jackson.
But anyway, this is going to be a great conversation with Chris. He really opens up about everything, and this awesome insight into the world of Freedom for a Friend, what he's been up to since the breakup, and everything else in between.
Yes.
So we won't go on too long.
Yes.
But we will mention some things very quickly.
Yep.
Head over to our social media pages on Twitter and Instagram.
At Sappening Pod, SAPPENINPOD, not the new metal band with the dreads. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and maybe one day Facebook, but for now not Facebook, so don't bother checking Facebook.
Yeah, so go there, give us a follow and like all our stuff,
please,
get involved.
For it.
Tell us what guests or any suggestions you have about anything at all regarding Sappening Podcast, and maybe, hopefully, we can do something about that.
Yes, if you've enjoyed any of the last 49 50, 52, I don't know how many hours we've done by now.
Loads of hours because there's been specials.
Too many bloody hours. Please think about checking out patreon.com/sappening and supporting the podcast going forward. Every penny goes back into keeping us alive and making the podcast bigger and better than ever before.
Yes, and we're going to be making a special donation to the Food for a Friend Just Giving page as well in honor of this episode. So, yeah, everything helps.
Yeah, cool. Should we get on with the episode?
Yes, let's get into it.
Right, on the Marks Gazette, go!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sapnin!
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 Yes! Our guest this week is the wonderful, always been absolutely lovely to me, despite a lot of the miserable looks on his face. It's the fantastic.
I'm smiling.
What, you're smiling at the. Yeah, I don't know. I think you are. I can't tell under the mustache anymore. I didn't finish the intro. Yeah. The guitar virtuoso, Chris Roberts of Funeral for a Friend.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very
yes,
much. Thank for doing
you.
This.
Thank you for taking time
me.
Out.
No, thank
no pleasure.
You. And thank you for having us with you for the last 3 days. Just letting us be about. I came.
How many times?
It's been a couple of loads released over the last 3 days. But thank you very much for having my band and for allowing me and Morgan to be around you guys over these last three shows.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. We're recording this in the London show, which is the last date of these very special reunion shows, really. And last night in Cardiff was just incredible to see you all back on stage and playing those songs again, and the crowd just absolutely loving it from literally the first note.
Thank you, boys. Thank you very much. It's been lovely to have you. Love you, boys. You cheer me up as well with this podcast.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
My miserable mornings into work.
Well, you've got a miserable morning tomorrow. This is the rock and roll lifestyle that people don't know about. So tonight, Chris is playing a sold out show. It's sold out in under 5 seconds in a 2,500 capacity venue in London. Curfew's 11 p.m. What have you got to do tomorrow?
Get a sofa out of my house by 6:30.
It was a look you gave me. It was just so deadpan. People don't expect. People think, they're going to be doing cocaine and strippers till the wee hours.
Until about 3.
Yeah, and it's going to take 3 hours to get home, and then he just grabs the sofa straight away.
If that's not a reality check, then I don't know what is, to be honest. I mean,
no, it's brought back down to earth. But yeah, as Morgan said, the shows have been amazing so far, and. It's all for an amazing cause. Big Stu, our mutual friend, sadly passed away a month or so ago. And we'll do it. Well, you guys decided to do these shows as a benefit for him and so his family. we'll have some money off it, and that's a beautiful thing. Did you all know straight away that you wanted to do something like this? Or did somebody specifically come up with the idea?
Well, it was weird because, like, we obviously we've been being asked quite a lot since we broke up, are we going to reform? Are we going to do any more shows? And kind of, I think the way that we finished everything as a band was so kind of poignant. It kind of tied everything up. We got Matt and Ryan involved. We kind of, it felt like, you know, there's that line drawn in the sand. There's no need to kind of go back over that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ryan called me, and it was the day that Stewart put up that kind of he'd been given his terminal prognosis, and he was just like, we got to do something. So we were initially talking about kind of auctioning stuff off, like, what do we have memorabilia wise if we can kind of like do an event and sort of sell it off. And I'm useless, like, I have nothing at all from kind of our history. I don't have I don't have any of our vinyls. I don't think I have our CDs. I'm not that kind of sentimental person who keeps things. So I was talking to Ryan, and we were kind of brainstorming, and we were just like, look, you know, really, if we want to make kind of a difference. And it's also because, like, Stu is so important to not just us, but to so many people in the scene. And it's like, when you see something like that, everybody wants to do something to help, but it's kind of, how can you, what can you do? So the idea was to do these shows. We kind of pitched it to the rest of the boys in the band. Obviously, everybody came back straight away with a yes. And then it was amazing because you started to see kind of how everybody wanted to help out.
People
wanted to kind of put things forward and kind of, you know, anything they could do to help. And, you know, that's just a reflection of kind of how loved he was and how important he was to everyone.
Oh, yeah, he was literally, no pun intended, he was a massive character. Like, he was such a big part in the scene, and I think he brought a lot of light, and every time I saw him, he was always happy and smiling, and he'd wind Bob up now and again, which is always good by me.
It's quite easy to do, though, right?
Yeah, very easy. Oh, one of my favourite memories of Big Stu was Bob was driving down Womanby Street outside Club Eva Bach after a gig, so you can imagine how angry Bob already is because there's people in his way, right? Next minute, comes bundling out of Club Eva Bar, is Big Stu. He's had a couple of tins. He's jumped on Bob's roof. Imagine how angry Bob was.
Oh, yeah, I bet he took her in there.
He took her in his stride. Right, yeah. Get up here again, man.
It's all right.
Oh, it was fucking brilliant. Just to see Bob's little tiny pied go blood red mad was absolutely excellent. But Stu was such a big part, and he'd be at all shows. Didn't matter if they were like metal bands or like pop bands or pop punk bands. He was always about and always supporting. I remember he did a show for his birthday bash, and he was Shape by Fate headlined, Shape My Addiction, Johnny Mental, 21 Meadow Street, and The Blackout were playing. And we had like the softer songs in out of all those bands, right? And we were like, we can't play that metal bill with like our song It's High Tide Baby, which is this I apologize for the so we were like, we gotta write an heavy song for this. So we wrote a song called I'm a Riot, You're a Fucking Riot, which ended up being one of the Blackout's most popular songs. And we wrote that just because we were playing Stu's birthday, and we were like, we can't be out-metalled. So
it's mad.
Yeah, like, people don't realise the legacy as in like little things like that, like like songs dedicated to him and like created because of him. But
well, it's amazing for us because like it kind of extends outside of, I guess, the community that we had as well. It's kind of, there are people who they've been coming to our shows for like, you know, the kind of 15, 16 years that we were touring for, and they wouldn't just come to the UK, they'd like fly to Australia, they'd come to America. And these are all people who kind of met through Stu, which is just, that's insane to think that somebody kind of managed to kind of have that sort of outreach to people. And it's just, he was incredible for us, man.
Yeah, it sounds like he really set the foundations, not only for like the community of, you know, for Friend fans, but really the whole Welsh music scene for a long time as well. So
I think he created a lot of things which I kind of, you know, I remember when we first started, it's kind of, there's a lot of things that kind of started with the music scene that we kind of, we come from, you know. And I think that initially there's a lot of negative things, which is all about kind of with the bands, like competitiveness and sort of, you know, oh, we got to play faster than them. We got to be heavier than them. You know, we have to sing more in tune than them.
I feel that all of those things, mate, that was the worst of all of it.
But it's kind of he brought like a fun aspect of getting kind of people together, I think. And that sort of, it was kind of the people who were outside of the bands and the people who were coming to watch us, you know, it's sort of, he was the kind of like the gravity of all of that, which is just incredible.
Yeah, and it was really nice to see some of his family and some of his close friends at the Cardiff shows as well. Yeah, it was just a beautiful moment. How was it getting back on stage for the first time in that first Cardiff show?
Initially bricking it, like properly bricking it,
yeah,
and then started playing. I think within like the introduction to Rookie, I was like, this is fine. I've done this a million times.
Yeah.
Just go into the mode that I always go into, and then through my head. And yeah, that was a really bad idea. Realized like, oh yeah, in 3 years you age horrendously. But it was just incredible just to kind of see the reaction of everyone. It just literally felt like the most unbelievable amount of love in the room.
It was.
Which was, I think if we had played every single song wrong or backwards, people wouldn't have cared. Thankfully, we didn't do that.
Yeah, don't think about doing that tonight.
Yeah, we will.
What's my idea? Let's play all the songs wrong to see how well they like us. They really like us.
Something we probably would have done around 2007, I reckon, that is. Let's test the limits of people's love for us.
But I just seeing everybody on stage as well, just the happiness in everybody's face.
Yeah.
And you got Johnny Phillips and Andy and Mevs up, which was like part of the 2002 Funeral for a Friend lineup.
Yeah, that was our fifth show, that was.
Literally. That's mad. You did four with them, and then that was the fifth.
Yeah,
and sixth now.
It's not bad, is it? That's quite a trajectory, that is. Yeah, right. Tall House, Urplas.
Yeah, Tall House. 300-400 people, it blasts 1,000-odd. Nice. Good step up.
I think you're remembering the Tall House as being a bit bigger there, but about 120, I think, got held, yeah. And it weren't full either, so there would have been probably about 30 people in the Tall House, and then, 1,000 plus. Yeah.
I came to Film for Friends. I missed the first gig, apparently, and then did the next six, I think. And absolutely blew my mind. I just remember, I saw you and I was like, I just had the feeling, I was like, oh, these are fucking going to be huge. And I wasn't wrong. So, nice one, Mystic Sean.
Well, could have told me though, but
Chris, you're going to be all like, I don't even know who you are. Young boy who will not stop following my band. Please go away, you long-headed fuck.
I remember you and Scott always being at the shows, just like,
fucking loved it, man. Still loved it. Well, me and Scott the other night, lost our mind. We went in the pit, we were fucking climbing. Oh, it was all set. Like, that show the other night was like, for me, it was like going back to about 2004, 2005, and just fucking letting go. And it was amazing. And it made me, like I said earlier, these past 3 days I have been Christmas happy. Like proper, like it's Christmas Day every day. And I've had the last 3 days have been better than my last three Christmases combined. So thank you very much. And it's just been unbelievable.
Thanks. It just felt like a giant reunion of that kind of peak of the Welsh scene, really, because there's people like yesterday I haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
And just, they just felt like a really family affair.
Yeah, definitely. I think that kind of like it like everything is going to inevitably over time, things are going to fizzle out. And it's kind of, we had this like massive explosion in Wales. And it's kind of, I think it's just a thing of what Welsh people are generally like. We come from a kind of a society of people where generally you try to help out your neighbors, your friends, you try to kind of do good within your community. It's kind of a slightly almost kind of like socialist idea, I think. Kind of probably goes back to the miners' strikes, and I think the kind of, for us, it was like as soon as our kind of that door opened, it was to kind of, we wanted to chuck a wedge in it. And then it's like, we always took Welsh bands out with us. We always kind of wanted to do things, you know. So, yes, it's kind of, I think that we built a scene, not us solely, but like everyone.
Oh no, you
like
were.
We kind of managed to build a scene just out of the basis that it's like, oh well, you know, we're gonna go and do this tour. Oh, have we thought about support? Oh, there's some American band I've never heard of. Oh, fuck that! I don't want that. I want my mates on a tour. I didn't do this to fucking tour with some strangers.
Are Rhonda McLean sober? No. Still get him on. Still get him. Yeah, get him.
Wicked. We'll take him out. Just lock the bloody doors.
Yeah, keep him away from the fridge, really.
For me, the first time we took him out with us, they came off stage and they drank everything on our rider. Like, yeah.
I love it when you take out a band who's never like been on a proper tour and they just wandering about. I saw someone yesterday, like I think it was like someone who's friends of the band, and he was just walking in the guitar tech's way all the time, and I was like, boy, you can't stand me there, you're just in the way. And you just get people who are just wandering about that haven't got a clue.
Well, I've been doing that for the entire time I've been doing it.
To be fair, I was a bit like that today walking around this venue because it's massive.
It's hello Cleveland as fuck this place, isn't it?
You're going to get super lost.
Catacombs, don't you?
Heavy Spinal Tap.
But talking about getting ready for these shows and getting the idea and everything behind it, what was your feelings in the days leading up to it? Because obviously, so many people were so excited to see you guys back and playing these songs and just have all the vibe and everything, but because of what these shows are for, was it a bit in two mindsets about the feeling on what really the energy would have been like, just for you guys personally, because of how...
Yeah, I think like kind of it was a weird one, because obviously that there's a side of to doing this that I haven't seen Matt since the last shows. I haven't seen Rich since the last shows, mainly because I live in London, you know, kind of. And when you start doing, you kind of go from doing what you're doing with music to doing like kind of 9-to-5 kind of, you know, day job. It's like you think, oh, that's been a while, well, I'll contact him in a bit, and the next thing you know, 3.5 years have gone by. So kind of it's really exciting to kind of like, or for me, I was really looking forward to seeing kind of Matt, Ryan, Darren, Gav, like, you know, kind of, who else have I forgot there?
Ryan, Johnny.
Mavs. Yeah, Johnny Mavs. Yeah. Andy, yeah. No, but it was like, that was something that was discussed later doing the original kind of, the original lineup. And so, yeah, but at the same time, it was also the kind of, we were all kind of very cut up about, you know, Stu passing as well, especially at the point that we found out that they're kind of, you know, we'd lost him. And it was just to try and take the kind of focus away from this being something of it. We were like, it doesn't have to be perfect, it doesn't have to be good, it doesn't have to be brilliant. The whole thing is just about it being fun. You know, like kind of, because that's what Stu was as a person, wasn't he? He was fun.
Yeah.
Just a fun person.
Yeah, he was.
So that was the whole thing, was like, we just want to do something which, like, he'd enjoy. Yeah. He'd laugh at, he'd find funny. And, you know, to get Johnny Phillips back on a drum kit after he hasn't played for almost 20 years.
That's incredible, yeah.
That's a hell of an achievement, that. Yeah. And yeah, he hasn't been too shabby either. No fairness. Yeah.
I walked in to the venue Sunday. Johnny was like, "I'm getting there for 4:30." So it was 4:20. I was outside, just fucking rearing. He was like, "Oh, I'm inside." So I came in, and I was, to be honest, I think I was expecting everybody to be in like a somber mood, but everybody wasn't. Like, there was smiles on people's faces, and then you just started playing the songs, and I lost my mind, and I was just dancing on my own it was just me and Funeral for a Friend playing. And yeah, it's been a celebration enough, I think.
Yeah,
a celebration.
Yeah. Oh, no, of the definitely life. Like, and that it's the one thing I think that kind of, you know, music does, and it's something that we're like, you know, we're all passionate about, Stu was passionate about it, and it is music brings, it really does bring people together. And it's kind of, you know, for us to have done something which is like we can only do with each other as well, to be able to kind of get together and do this, and for like so many familiar faces to have you guys come out as well, you know. It's been it's just been mind-blowing. Like, we didn't expect, you know, we didn't know what to expect, to be honest, but the reception that it got, the fact they were all sold so quickly, was just
yeah,
it's fucking unbelievable. How did you feel about that, like, You were never going to play the Globe, were you, really?
You knew that I was going to sell out.
Originally, our plan was that we wanted to do a small warm-up show and then maybe one show. And then, obviously, it's kind of... the small warm-up was meant to be the Globe because, like, you know...
Yeah.
I find, like, having not played for, like, you know, since kind of May of 2016. I've played guitar.
Yeah.
Played guitar regularly. I haven't stopped playing just because the band stopped, you know? But to perform, it was like, it might be a bit rusty. We might need to do, like, a small warm-up. And then, yeah, the tickets went so fast. And I think Johnny had already kind of sounded out to a class to see if we could, if it was available. And then, yeah, we just basically...
The Globe would have been like hell on earth. It would have been boiling. It would have been insane. Man,
the response as well from we had from people being like, "It's a hometown show," and you're like, "Yeah, well, all right, okay, take your point." Nah, but yeah, it's just nuts. And then for them to go, we literally put everything on sale. They went instantly. We upgraded it, and before we announced that it was upgraded, it sold out. And then, yeah, we announced that we were doing the other show, and as soon as we announced it, I just had loads of people going, "Can't get tickets, it's sold out." Yeah. I'm like, wow, people love us. Yeah. Thank you, people.
No, they do. And yeah, like you said, at these shows, like, I've been in the crowd, I've been in the pit, everybody is fucking loving it, like, proper ecstatic. Like, I was in the pit with people I don't know. They were hugging me, not because I was the fellow who's just on stage, just because I was a fellow Faf fan, as a fellow Funeral fan in the pit, just loving life.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It's just, it's been such a fucking, like, bonding experience for not just me and my band, but me and everybody around it, including the fans, and yeah, you guys as well. Like, I think it had been so long, like you said earlier, when you don't speak to somebody for so long, you kind of never know what the vibe is, and then you always think, oh, how is it going to be? So when I came back, I was like, because I haven't seen Matt for ages, I was like, how is this going to be now? Is it going to be a bit strange or whatever? But everyone's been fucking lovely, everybody's just been happy, and yeah, it's basically, I've done 3 days of this tour, it's a 3-day tour, and it's been one of my favourites.
So no, I do, likewise,
it's
man.
It's been fucking brilliant. It's been so fun.
Yeah, it definitely has. It's kind of, like, but saying about that, it was quite funny that, like, when we all walked into the room for the first time, like, going into rehearsals, we all started talking, and we just, like, you know, we'd booked, like, to do 6 hours, I think, 6 or 7 hours, and we just all chatting, catching up, and it's like 2.5 hours have gone by, and we haven't played anything. And it's like, oh, right, yeah, we gotta sort this out then, haven't we? So then, we thought we were motoring through the set the other night, because when we were doing in rehearsals, it'd take us 6 hours to get through that set.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is going really quickly. And it was like, oh, no, we're on for an hour and 40 minutes. It's like, oh, right, okay, yeah, it's just because we didn't stop for 2 hours to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Just, yeah.
You know, it's been awesome. That shows that how much everyone's just been enjoying, you know, this experience, and just, as Sean said, celebrating just life in general. And
yeah, definitely.
The good times of everything.
So. Definitely. Yeah.
It's everything. It's celebrating the life of Stu. Celebrating the music of Funeral for a Friend and the life of Funeral for a Friend, and I wish it could go on. I literally wish this tour could go on forever.
Yeah, literally, you're saying.
It would be fan-fucking-tastic, but
yeah, it would be pretty special. I'd definitely lose my job, and that's so probably me going out to it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. In the break part, what's everybody been up to? Because I think everybody would be interested in what everybody's been up to.
Personally, I work down in Epsom. I work in a guitar retail shop,
nice,
selling guitars, which is fun. It's like the whole thing that kind of I wanted after the band sort of finished, is that I just wanted a job where I could go home at the end of the day. You know, you got structured routine. It's kind of, you have a bit of semblance of normality to your life, because it sounds really, really ungrateful that, like, when you're doing your touring, you're doing really well. It's kind of, like I say, it seems really ungrateful. And it's just that whatever you do, no matter kind of how much somebody might look at it and be like, oh, I would love to be able to do that. If you've done that, like, day after day, year after year, it's like there becomes a point where it starts to feel like a job. Yeah. And it's all of the deadlines and things that you have to meet that kind of, like, you go, oh, well, I'd be amazing to write music. It is, but it's kind of, oh well, we've got to write the record by this point because we need the advance in order to kind of get the cash flow working and everything else. And suddenly it just becomes really bloody stressful. Yeah. So yeah, it's just, it's been amazing for me because like to kind of come out of doing this, go into, I was terrified of like, you know, I haven't had a proper job since I was 20. I think this is what I've done since I was 20. I'm 38 now. Nice. So it's like, yeah, so it was terrifying for me. But then it was like, oh, I started and I kind of fell in love with guitars again and music. It's like through kind of where I work, which is really cool. And I know, I actually know a lot more about them now than I did when I was playing. It's really weird. Like, it kind of, I'm more interested in guitars now because I sell them.
Yeah.
Than I was just for playing it every day, because I was like, oh well, I got mine, that's fine, that one'll do. I'll keep it. That one works.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think kind of Rich is like a manager for UBS. Gav is kind of studying and sort of working towards being a social worker, I believe.
Yep.
Ryan's obviously in management. Everybody knows what Ryan's been doing because he's already done podcast. That was when you were calling me.
Episode
23, I want to say.
Oh, there you go, episode 23, Ryan Richards. If he doesn't say Ryan Richards, listen to it anyway.
Yes.
We don't know who it is, but listen to it anyway. It might be Ryan.
Yeah. That was the one where you were calling me miserable.
Oh. Yeah, but
come on, in all fairness, he was defending me, Ryan was. He shouldn't have.
He's turning on the miserable sort. He started on the proper love fest, and I was like, Sean, I finally got you.
Turn that off, I'm about to batter it.
Who else was there? So Ryan's managing.
Matt's living in Germany, obviously works for Avocado. And has, just loads and loads of animals that he takes care of.
Nice.
Yeah, which is wicked. Kind of Darren's in, works in management as well. We kind of scattered all over the place, I guess.
But it's good to see the mix of lineups as well. And it's good to see, like, nobody's kind of, I don't know, not bitter, but like weird, like, you know, like
there's no ego,
it's just an all love fest and everyone's cool. And there was a bit in the set Sunday it's happened every night where Matt says, ladies and gentlemen, Darren Smith, and there was a cheer for Darren, and I saw the look on his face, right, and it nearly made me cry, and I went, yeah, fucking Darren.
So the amazing thing with that is it seems like as if he's doing it on the basis of being like, oh look, it's amazing to have Darren Smith. He's actually taking the piss because he did that
every single night
for the entire time Darren was in the band. So I think it was a more of a nostalgic look from Darren of like, oh yeah, I forgot that this prick used to do this to me every night.
I just loved it. I felt the crowd go mad. Like, it was awesome. It was it's been lovely to see.
For you, what's it been like having like Ryan and Darren back in the fold playing songs and everything? Because obviously Fuel went on for many years after both of them left individually. So to have that mixture of lineups, was it quite touching for you to look back at the whole of Fuel for a Friend and have a bit of everything?
Yeah, I think so. I think the kind of, we went through a bit of a weird kind of period, I think, when Ryan left, because it's kind of at that point it's just me and Matt, you know, and it's kind of like, if you think of the core kind of sound of a band, it sort of is created by the individuals who are in a band, and if you've got three people, you've got kind of it's still quite a core of it, and I think Ryan's drumming is really distinctive, so. The moment that Ryan kind of stepped out, where everything sort of musically we changed, and I think we kind of didn't really sound like Funeral for a Friend. The other thing that we were doing as well was constantly we'd like getting bored of playing our songs, so we'd change them. So it's like we'd be playing live and playing songs that people are really familiar with, but doing things which weren't in them and changing them, which we were like, oh, that's great. And everybody's just like, just play the fucking song as it was. Why are you fucking with it? I didn't come here to listen to you fuck up the songs I like.
You need a 7 minute middle eight.
So it's been really nice because it's like kind of it's doing everything kind of as it was as well, which is the really nice thing. It's like, we're not, I love having Ryan back because I'm not forced to be Mr. Angry Voice on stage.
That's
anymore.
True, yeah, you did have to fill in when he left, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do it well and I didn't enjoy it. I kind of, that got thrust upon me just on the fact, it was like, well, you've been here the longest, you're going to have to do it. It's not like we all had a go and it was like, oh, you're better, you can do it best. It was just like, ah, you've been in here for long enough, you should know how to do that by now.
You should have picked that up by now, man. You know, got the screamers, man.
Yeah, you know the timings for everything, so
it's kind of like, I don't know, putting on a pair of well-worn, comfortable shoes is what I would say. Very familiar, but just, yeah, really incredible. And, yeah, quite emotional, I think, as well.
Yeah.
How do you think it's going to be after tonight's show?
I don't know. After the last ones that we did, they were pretty kind of emotional, but this is very different.
Yeah.
I think we'll all be happy. And I think we'll all kind of... I got 3 days off now, so I can be my normal miserable self in that time. So yeah, I think that kind of it'll be good, very very good. I think everybody will be on a high. You know, kind of it'll be a.
I'm super excited to watch tonight. That's the thing. It's like I'm not even excited. Like every one of these shows, I haven't been excited to play. Which is strange for me, right? Because I can't fucking wait to get people's attention.
Yeah, nobody's
you know me, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I literally love Eyes on Me, right? But this, all yours.
Thank you.
I was just thinking that, thanks.
But every one of these shows, I've been like, I can't fucking wait till I'm off stage so you can go on stage so we can start this fucking show properly. And I fucking loved every night. And I'm as excited for this one as I've been for any show that I got coming up for age. When was the last time I was this excited? Every Time I Die, 2003.
Yeah, you're pretty excited for that.
Doing Hot Damn Info.
You've come out of...
That's a great record.
You've come out of Mosh Retirement twice in 1 year.
Twice in... And the Ric Flair. And the Ric Flair of music. I've come out of retirement twice this year to mosh for other bands.
Yeah. Yeah. One on a tour, one on a festival as well. So they're two different promotions. So there you go.
Look at this.
Nice
Ric Flair. Is this the last of we'll ever get a funeral for
Flair? Is there any itches that have to be scratched after this, or are you all, because you all knew the deal, do you think this is just going to be
I think the last shows was always the question, because would we ever do stuff with Ryan and Darren? I think this kind of obviously answers that. I don't think we're ever going to be a band who ever go back into the studio and record another album. I kind of feel that, like, we with what we've done, we kind of pushed that to its limits. I think without we can't do any more without repeating ourselves, you know, which is the problem with having 7 studio albums. It's like that's a lot of songs.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so to kind of not repeat yourself is very difficult, and I don't think we really have the desire anyway to do that. I would say never, but yeah, I don't think we've really got, I don't think we've got anything lined up the whole thing, but this was just to kind of get together, kind of celebrate Stu, help raise money, you know, and kind of just try and have some fun and kind of, you know, make it fun for people as well. So I don't think we're gonna have like this great revival where we're not gonna be like, yes, next week here's a 90 date tour.
All in Wales.
Yes.
All 90 dates are in Wales. We're playing the Aberdeen Coliseum 50 times.
That's it, aye.
Oof.
Don't think we ever played there. Did you ever play there?
No, never. I don't even know why I said it.
Is it a real place?
Of all the venues.
No, it is a venue. I think they do comedy. I don't know why I thought it. Yeah. Of all the venues I've ever chose, nobody I know has ever played.
Not like the arena in Cardiff or anything. Where, like,
no. Club Bach or
None of those places.
Barfly, which isn't even there anymore, but I could have named it. I just named it anyway. No bands have never played, but fucking maniac. What's wrong with me, man?
One thing I did want to mention, of course, on these shows, you've been playing songs really from the old days just up until the second record. I think it's safe to say that though those two records were such a soundtrack to the, maybe a revolution of the rock and metal scene in the UK at that time. So many bands were influenced by that sound and it came up and kind of changed the game. But like, how do you see those records, and do you have that kind of same reflection on it, or do you see it differently because obviously you were living in it and part of those songs from?
It's a bit weird because with Casually Dressed, we recorded that in two different sections. Kind of like two separate points, different studios. So it felt, when we were recording, it felt really fragmented. And like the writing process, we kind of, I think Ryan touched on this when he said that basically, you know, when a record labels are going like, oh, you know, so how many songs have we got? Yeah, we got 15, we've got five, and they've all been released, you know. It's like, so yeah, we kind of lied our way into getting a record contract in that sense, saying we're ready to go in the studio, and we weren't. So for Casually, it's weird because that seems to be the record that people love most. That's kind of the thing, when people think of us, they think of that album, which is really cool. But for me, that's like, it's really weird. It's bits of songs, there's things that on that record that I wrote when I was 14.
Yeah.
Like, you know, kind of like riffs and sort of little kind of ideas.
People don't realize that, don't, like, you've had your whole life pretty much to write your first record. And then, like, your second one, they're like, oh, we need another one 6 months later. And you're like, what the fuck?
No, well, it's mad. So I can remember I wrote the introduction to Juno, I think, when I must have been about 17. And I can remember kind of doing it, and I had like this weird little hippie like lamp that my parents had bought me for Christmas because I was quite a hippie like child, you know. And it was yellow with the smiley face sort of logo on it, and I was playing acoustic, and I remember writing that section, and I thought, oh, that's quite cool, probably never do anything with that. It's like, yeah, I wrote that when I was 17. Your Revolution is a joke I wrote when I was 14 because my mum was like ill in bed with a migraine and I couldn't play electric guitar, so I picked up an acoustic and ended up writing that, and I was like, oh, showed it to her, and she was like, oh, that's really nice, Chris. And I was like,
but get out of the room, I'm gonna play. I didn't
tell you to stop playing guitar for you to go into the other room, play acoustic, and then come in and show me. I asked you to stop making a fucking noise because I don't want to hear it.
Maybe if she wasn't in that day, you wouldn't have written that.
Yeah, of course, but like, that's the thing, it is your first album, you have your entire lifetime of playing to pull through. And it's but there's that kind of a naivety to everything you do, because you don't really know what you're doing. And I think that's the kind of charm of Casually Dressed, is if you listen to it, if you break down the songs on it and listen to them individually, some of it doesn't even sound like the same band. Stylistically it changes so much, like throughout the record, it's almost like track by track is listening to a different band, and that's really cool in a way. But yeah, so I don't feel, for me, Casually isn't a perfect record.
Okay.
So I understand why people love it. It's the same way that there's albums I grew up listening to that I loved, you know. And
yeah,
I'm sure if you were to talk to those people, they'd say exactly the same thing. But to me, it's all to do with its memories. It's like you people created groups of friends that they've probably had for their entire life, like they've had now for their entire lives, through coming together, through listening to that music. Your first experience is like probably going out and having your first drink, kind of thing, you know. Obviously being in Wales, that is a very Welsh thing, right? It's like, you know, and I think that album is definitely a soundtrack for people, for like all of those first experiences. And that's why people love it so much. I love the record because it changed my life massively, but it's, to me, it wasn't quite perfect. Ours was a completely different experience, because that was written like literally on the crest of everything just going mental, and suddenly experiencing things that I never ever thought I'd get to do or I'd see. So it's, for me, that's almost every song is almost like it's a map of where I was in the world at that time. And it's like, so it's all the first travels, like Recovery, I wrote the riff for Recovery, overlooking the crossing in Shibuya Square.
Nice.
I had my first Les Paul never owned a Les Paul, never thought I'd ever be able to own a Les Paul, and I had one, and I played it, and I was like, don't really like this, I've got to get familiar with it. And it ended up being jet lagged, wrote that riff. I wrote All the Rage in Berlin when we were on the Iron Maiden tour, just playing in the dressing room, warming up. What was the other? Drive, I wrote in Boston in the back of the bus. Everybody went out, and I just was a bit tired. So
yeah, I love this.
Just
love
wanted to play and wrote it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's for me, every the end of nothing. I wrote on Thanksgiving in a hotel room, being really lonely because nothing's open in America on a Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I think I drank two bottles of wine and wrote that. Luckily, I could remember it in the morning. But yeah, that's. So for me, that's kind of, that was, I think, experimenting with my playing style, obviously kind of trying to grow my songwriting. And kind of the other thing was that I didn't want to come out of Casually have nothing. So while we were touring Casually and we were going to all these places, I'd always have a guitar all my days off. I'd stay in, I wouldn't go out, which is pretty miserable, but that's me, innit, you know. So I just, yeah, I kind of like, I wouldn't go around the city, I just said get my guitar and write, and that's pretty much all I did for the entire time that we toured. And weirdly, our touring cycle got got extended because the American label released it 9 months after the UK. So we almost like finished the cycle and then restarted the cycle. So yeah, so but I think that the kind of ours was the record I wanted Casually to be. And I think when it came to us kind of putting the songs together and everybody writing them, it's kind of, there was such a sense of optimism about everything, because it's like, you're still really green to like, you know, to what things are like. But, you know, our first album, we got to work with Colin Richardson, which was like, I couldn't believe we were working with Colin Richardson. I was like, he did burn my eyes into manufacture and Carcass artwork. I was like, we're working with Colin Richardson, it's fucking mental. And yeah, we did it in Chapel and Rack, so but you know, which are amazing studios, but one in London, the other one's in Lincoln. And kind of that was mind blowing. But when we did ours, we went to Seattle, recorded in Studio X, which used to be Bad Animals, which is where like In Utero was recorded. We worked with Terry Date, who like did all of my favorite albums. So that was just insane. Like I couldn't believe, like, that I was like, every day going into recording, it's just like, that's Terry Date.
Terry Date, boy.
Boy, that's Terry Date, though, right?
Such a Welsh. Terry Date, boy. Terry Date, boy. What's happening?
Oh, Dato.
Dato. Dato. You doing drums, is it? Of course, I reckon it is.
But no, so that was, like, that was just incredible. And, like, he's the best producer. Just, he came and watched us live and was just like, oh, I think you're a better live band than you sound on record. I don't feel that was captured on your first album. And he's like, so we're going to capture that. And we're like, oh, well, how are we going to do that? And he's like, well, we're not going to use clicks. We're going to go in, we're going to record it. He's like, you're just going to go in the room and play until we get everything right. Until it's like, we got the drum track down. And then he's like, we'll do any overdubs we have to do over that. So yeah, there's no click on that record whatsoever.
Didn't know that.
Awesome. It's like, and everybody's like, oh, it's so overproduced. It's like, it's fucking life.
Well,
there is a point where like he sent Matt out. He was like, I think when we did History, he was like, song sounds, the midsection sounds really empty. It's kind of, it's a lot of empty space in there. And he's like, I don't want to fill it with music. It's, you got to do something. Get these headphones to Matt, chuck them on him, kick him out the door, shut the east. On the street, you can hear cars going past. If you listen to History, you can literally hear traffic going past.
Wow.
To fill the empty space, which was, yeah, which crazy. Was in that midsection. Yeah. And wow. It was like, yeah, it
and
sounds.
That after this now?
Yeah, honestly, you'll hear it. You can hear a car going. I've almost lost my voice. That was a really shit car impression.
So is, would you say ours is your favourite?
I think for creatively what we've done as a band, I think that's us at our best. Mm. I think we just went too far away from what we kind of set out sort of being.
Yeah.
You know what, like, we'd never had a mission statement when we started, but we definitely didn't intend on being a second rate Snow Patrol, which is what we fucking turned to on the third album.
Oh.
Yeah.
E7.
Yeah, that was not yeah. Sorry to anybody who likes that album.
It's all good. It's your opinion.
Yeah,
it's your album. It's your opinion.
Yeah, ashamed of myself.
I think I do want to say an honourable mention to Welcome Home Armageddon, though, because I do think that is...
Yeah, and again, but like again, I think that was that's probably the most we had sounded like us in years, and I think it was a kind of that thing of getting Gav and Rich into the band, and them obviously coming from that the same scene as with music as us, and kind of like Hondo and the Future were very kind of technical and riffy, and it was just, I can remember Gav's opinion, he's like, he's not one to sort of put anything gently. Oh well, yeah, like I didn't mind Memory, but it's just no fucking riffs on it, man.
He does love a riff.
Yeah, so we yeah, that was like, all right, we're gonna start writing riffs again, and we're gonna like really focus on that. And then yeah, that was wicked, because that's probably, It was really interesting, because like both Gav and Ryan, Gav and Rich are really creative. So like Rich would write kind of riffs, Gav would write riffs, and as opposed to normally the way we'd work, I'd get an idea for a song, Matt would have an idea, and we'd work separately with kind of Ryan and Darren, and then kind of we'd sort like the songs would come from there. It was like three of us showing each other different things and collectively writing together with Ryan. So it was the four of us were doing all of that music and then kind of taking that to Matt, which was completely different. But yeah, I love that record. I think it's,
yeah, you're saying, yeah,
it's definitely good. Like, it, well, in my opinion, it's good.
Yeah. Brilliant. And yeah, while we're mentioning the old stuff, I've got to say, I've never seen Sean as happy as coming on and playing The Art of American Football with you guys, because he's been
give me half credit, bro.
But American Football,
I've been threatening Johnny. I saw that on one of your t-shirts, you had our logo, Raiders logo. So I said to Johnny, oh well, John, I'm talking to my lawyer now, and we've come to the thing that if I don't do Art of American Football, we're going to have to pursue some sort of court case for using our logo on your t-shirt. And Johnny told me to fuck off, which is fair enough.
Look at this. That's blackmail, that is, mate.
It's like, literally, it's blackmail.
Jesus, he's a
well, I was fucking super happy. So, needless to say, I had the last laugh. Like you said, I was fucking... It's that thing again of like me performing with, like, I ended up doing Counterfeit with Limp Bizkit, right?
Oh, I would have lost my shit if I'd done anything with Limp Bizkit.
I did Counterfeit with Limp Bizkit. I was doing a Fred Durst impression to Fred Durst. Hey man, wake up and smell the concrete. Well, he stood by there like with a mic, like, oh, doing a man's voice to his face. Going, fuck off, Fred.
You should have just done it in a really strong Welsh accent.
Wake up and smell the concrete, will you?
Mate, Danny, it was definitely room for it.
But yeah, no, my point was that...
Tamping against the machine, come on.
Yes, tamping for me, raging against the machine.
Turn on the radio. Ah, fuck it, turn it off.
It's gorillas on the radio. Performing with Limp Bizkit and performing with you the last night was... Yeah, well, it was just it's playing with two of my biggest inspirations in music.
Oh, well, thank you, man.
No, you don't need, no, thank you for letting me do it. Thank you for doing this as well. Well,
mate, you're welcome. I just started to set the record straight and you're telling everyone I'm a miserable bastard.
No, that's what we need to do. We need to talk about this, right? So on the tour that we mentioned with Ryan,
when you left me in fucking France on my birthday.
Oh yeah. Like,
so basically, beforehand, right? How do I say this without you stabbing me? You might have had a reputation for being a bit angry now and again, like Bob, right?
Yeah.
Now and again. So when we were doing that tour with you, the European tour, which was literally the tour that made Funeral Friend go, Yeah, we should probably give us up, to be honest. Right.
Oh, enough's enough, boys.
Yeah, if we have to go over the likes of these cunts, that's it. Let's knock it on the head, right? We were driving home. We were like one service station before Calais. We stopped for something. Everybody got out. Everybody, well, we thought everybody got back into the bus. Then we drove for an hour and someone said, "Where's Chris?" And we all went, "Oh no. Oh no." We literally searched every, we searched our own bunks as well, just in case you'd gone into somebody else's bunk somehow for some reason.
Oh, I've been hiding, I have, boys.
Yeah. Imagine we'd come all the way back and you were like, "I was here the whole time." So we got an hour away from the services. We were nearly at Calais when we realised you weren't there and we were going to have to go back. It took us an hour to get back, and I swear to God, 30 seconds before we got back to that service station, everybody thought you were going to be so mad that everybody went, "I'm going to bed," because he's going to be furious and I can't fucking face the wrath. And you came in and you took it better than anybody could have ever expected.
I found it quite funny. I'd spent 2 hours eating bloody Monster Munch and drinking Stella at the service station. It was probably one of my best birthdays, I'd say.
And it was on your birthday. Yeah.
I was like, this is what happens when you're 30. Nobody gives a shit about your birthday. So, hey, I'll celebrate by myself. Yeah, here's a pack of Monster Munch. They're not the Monster Munch from the UK. None of the beef or pickled onion. Ready salted.
Nice
and fucking miserable.
As plain as it is miserable. I just remember on our way back, we were like, "I can't believe we've left him here. Of all the people to leave here. And it's his fucking birthday."
What's the odds? Like, passing.
He's going to be on fire when he got in. And the fact he wasn't, right, was fucking brilliant. But
I initially thought it was like, they're playing a bit of a prank there. Because I came out and I saw the bus go in. I was like, "I'm not going to go running after it. They're going to stop down there." And I'm going, "Ha." And then you turned out.
2 hours later.
I come back now.
Oh, but Chris,
fucking hell, I've been here a while now.
I have had some of fucking my best touring moments with you and with your band and because of your band, so thank you very much. Thanks for it all. Thanks for the music.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thanks for the shows, because just seeing those fucking first shows was just such a influence and inspiration. It was like, Jesus Christ, fucking bands around here can do shit like this. This is fucking unbelievable. Like prior to you, there was like Lost Prophets probably were like the only kind of rocky metal band.
So that's the thing. So for me, it's, you know, I know that that's almost like, because of Ian, it's become like he's almost like Voldemort.
Yeah.
It's like he should not be named. Yeah. And I feel that does such a disservice to the other guys in the band, because it used to be that being from Wales and playing heavier kind of music or metal music was like, you always had an excuse to be shit.
Yeah.
It was like, because everyone's shit. And I remember seeing them supporting Earth Tone 9. I can just remember being absolutely blown away by it. It was like, all right, there's no excuses to be crap anymore. And watching Lee play as well, like Lee was a massive influence on me. So I spent a lot of time. I had a guitar with a Floyd Rose on it. Now anybody who plays guitars know how fucking annoying those things are.
Yeah.
I snapped the string and I just couldn't be dealing with it. So I played acoustic for like 2.5 years, learned to finger pick and play kind of classical style music, but never really thought about it implementing any of those melodies or stretches and things that you do into playing electric. And I can remember seeing Lee play, and he'd play these mental stretch chords, and I was like, I know what you're doing. Why am I not doing that? I'm gonna go home and do it. I know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna nick your playing style. Yeah, but they were for me. That was definitely, and I think that within the kind of the Welsh music scene as well, they opened the door, and kind of they were the band who kind of made people initially interested in bands from Wales, and I think that kind of they went through, and when we went in after, we wedged it open
100%.
And I think after that the community came, and I think Johnny as well has got to be mentioned for his contribution to that, because he was the person who was bringing, you know, initially we had people like kind of you do all days and it'd be like you make some college or whatever, and like there's loads of things which were really good. Phil, who used to played in the band Sex, don't know how that name would go down these days, you know? But he had arranged like sort of jam nights and stuff for the people doing performing arts in Bridgend, and through that I met like Gav, I met Matt, met Ollie, met all of these different people that kind of ended up being part of Funeral in some sort of way. And kind of Johnny started taking that a step further and doing bands, and then he was like really ambitious, and he's like, oh, I'm going to start trying to get kind of bigger acts here, and I'm going to get more established acts. So we started getting like Stamping Ground, Earth Tone 9, which like at the time that was like having the world's biggest bands come and play your hometown. And the thing that he did, which is amazing, was he'd put local bands on with them, and that forces you to kind of to become better. You're being inspired by playing with these people who do this every single day, and it's like, oh no, well, we need to be better, so you work harder. And then obviously from that he went on and started working at SJM, and he always worked with us, you know. He's been, even though he wasn't in the band for more than what felt like a couple of minutes, he's been like an unbelievably integral part of everything that we achieved, you know. And
I hope he never uses
You don't have to cut this out, because
this is just us talking as friends. If Tony uses this, he'll just blow his fucking giant head up anyway.
No, but he's
but you're alright, he's fucking integral in all of it, really.
But I think for you guys as well, he's a massive part of what you've 100%. done, you know? So
my first meeting with him, he told me my band is fucking shit, we'd never do anything, he'd never work with me. And then 5 years later, I had the ability to sack him as a manager. So it was, that was a table turn. But if it wasn't for Johnny, there's so much that wouldn't have happened. I went to so many sick future gigs that he put on.
I used to do the tickets on the door for that. I used to like literally kind of take ticket money and do the counting.
Yeah.
I always have to contradict the tour manager who was doing accounts. I got this less than that, man.
It's definitely less than that.
Your clicker's broke.
But yeah, so thank you to Johnny. I suppose, I know he's not here now, but
we're not putting this in though.
Oh yeah, that's true. So fuck Johnny. Fuck Johnny. No, we are open to have him on at some point as well, but then we are worried for the sake of everybody else.
I'd also say if you're going to do that, get some sort of legal advice before you do.
We might get cancelled after that, because he's just going to say some things, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to annoy some bands. But we saw him in JFP more, Johnny fucking Phillips more the other night. When he was talking to some fellas about their manager. And it was next. It was so bad, I had to walk away while they were talking. And I had to walk away. And then Darren, I was in Funeral's dressing room, and Darren from the other end of the dressing room was going, tell him how you really feel, John. Don't like him, do you, John? And it was the most awkward meeting I've ever seen. But again, shout out to Johnny Phillips, we do love you.
You are a legend.
You absolute mad bastard. Like,
even if he does pick on me for posting modelling photos on my Instagram,
he picks on everything. The thing is, if he picks on you, I was going to say it means he likes you.
No,
but no, it's not true.
No, it's not.
It could mean anything.
So it was interesting. I sat down with Johnny the other night. We were after we kind of did the first run through with like the original lineup. I had to go home, so I was going back to London, waiting for a train. And Johnny's like, "Oh, we'll go for a pint." So go to BrewDog. Went with him and Andy, and he was sat there, and he was telling me, "Oh, I'm this factual, logical person that things have to make sense, and I'm very much it must be done this way." And how he's more this kind of like, "Oh, goes by feeling and emotional." And Andy was just like, "Nah, it's completely the other fucking way around."
Yeah, Jesus. Johnny emotional. Funny enough, I will keep this in. The only time I've ever seen Johnny nervous was that Sunday night in the gig before he came on. And he's just like, oh, I'm a little worried. And I was like, fucking, I can't believe, I've never seen this Mr. fucking wandering about like he owns a bloody place. But it was nice to see, to be honest. And he did all right. And yeah, he came off and like last night he played and his sons watched him. And that was a good moment for him, I think.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
He's killed her as well. Yeah. In the last two shows, he's been, apart from the ending of 10:45, the first one, decided that it was going to be about 40 BPM faster than the rest of the song.
I was filming it. He said to me, oh, do me a favor, would you film this for me? And I was like, yeah, I'll come up, I'll film it. So he started filming it. And at that bit, the point where he just sped up for no reason, I caught him looking at you going, I'm so sorry, I can't stop.
No, see, the good thing is at least it was me and not Bob, right?
Oh, Bob would have stopped the song. Bob would have stopped the song then and then shouted at him.
Yep.
I've seen Bob and Snoz have a proper, the 2 seconds from fighting on stage argument. And you wouldn't think that from Snoz because he's the world's nicest man.
Yeah, he is. Like literally the world's nicest man.
Yeah, but then... Yeah, you put him and Bob together and they can go like... I'd like to...
Yin and Yang, isn't it? Well, I'm not saying that Bob is like the world's most horrible man, because if obviously Snoz is the world's nicest man. he's definitely in the big four.
Oh, brilliant.
Cool. Thanks so much for taking time out to speak to us and for literally everything.
Yeah, thank you for the inspiration over the years. Yes. Thank you for the music.
Yes.
Thank you for the tours. Thank you for the shows.
Yes.
Thank you for the merchandise. It made me look cooler in magazines.
Ooh.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything.
I need a bit more thanks. Yeah. Here, man. You're not working hard enough. Come on.
This is what I wonder. This is why bands split up, is because not enough people are thanking the bands. The bands don't realise how loved they actually are by people until it's too fucking late, and then people are like, I want to see you get back again. It's like, well, if you told us a year ago, we'd be in the band.
But there's also, man, you have to take into consideration that you know, you can love something because of a period of time, but to consistently love that and have that passion over it, like, you know, year in, year out, is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
So I do understand it, because I'm as guilty as anyone of doing it. There are bands who are like, oh, I love them. Have you heard the new album?
Ooh.
No. At least I didn't know they were still together. It's like, so I can't criticize people for doing exactly what I do. I'd feel bad about that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But I think, we've all done it. But
yes.
This is my chance to say thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you from a lot of people who'll be listening to this, who you would have played a fucking, well, to this day probably play a massive part in their lives. So
yeah, again, me included. So
thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. Oh, and before you go though, can people still donate to the cause, and can you give us the rundown of everything,
please? Yes, I believe the Just Giving page is still up. You can find it through all of our social medias. So I believe that's going to be, it should still be open for, I'm not sure how much longer. There's a limit on how long it can stay open for, essentially.
Okay.
So I think we're going to be getting quite close to the deadline. But yeah, that's obviously everything from this show is going to be donated to the family. So yeah, nice. If anybody does have, they can spare the price of a pint.
Yep.
Please do so.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And yeah, that link is justgiving.com/crowdfunding/forbigstew.
So thank you, Sean. I'm not very good with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of that.
No, we've been trying to work out a while that we could try and somehow monetize this to give back to him or whatever. But yeah, if people just check out justgiving.com/crowdsurfing/forbigstew, and I know like a lot of all the merch and stuff is going towards his family, and that's a beautiful thing. So again, thank you very much. Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks so much to everybody who's already kind of donated and bought merch and come to the show. It's been incredible.
You should donate right now.
Yes.
It's that simple, innit? Don't be a prick. Donate. Tidy.
It's happening.
It's happening.
The end. Perfect. You're listening to Sappy Podcast.
Yes, Chris, yes. Funeral for a Friend on episode 49 of Sappening Podcast. That was absolutely splendid.
Yes, what a guy.
What absolutely a guy. Lovely. I'm very glad we managed to get time with him backstage of this brilliant tour.
Yes, this and this prestigious venue.
Yes.
Absolutely lovely venue.
That I've got lost multiple times already.
Oh, yeah, there's so many Spinal Tap moments you could have in this building. There's
literally, yeah.
Too many stairs, and there's bits that go underground, which there's no entry for some reason. And then, yeah, there's a lot going on. But, yeah, thank you very much again to Chris and Funeral for a Friend and all of the Funeral for a Friend team and crew for being fucking absolutely top people and absolutely lovely to us constantly.
Yes, I totally agree. And once again, make sure to head over to their social media pages for that link to the Just Giving page where you can donate towards that special cause for Stu Brothers and his family.
Yep.
And yeah, make sure to check out our social media pages too at Twitter and Instagram.
At SappeningPod, at SAPPENINPOD.
We also have a Patreon if you'd like to get involved and join our wonderful Sappening Podcast community.
Yes.
Meet new friends, maybe loved ones. You don't have to, but it is happening a lot. Yeah, that's why I keep mentioning it. No, you don't have to find the love of your life.
So,
but
you know,
they're probably in there if they're going to be anywhere. So head over there, get involved. While we're mentioning it, we've got to say a special thank you to not only everyone who is a Patreon. Check the link in bio. No, not link in bio. The link, the description.
Jesus Christ.
Check the description of this podcast and there's loads of names, right?
Yes,
and we
want
to thank all of them, but we've got to especially thank the elite members of our Patreon,
yes,
who are the names Sean about to read out now.
Yes. Thank you very much to Dana Lasnova, Kylie Wheeler, Big John Price, Emma Barber, Liam Connolly, Nathan Croshaw, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Drew Styles, Janelle Caston, Nessa Smith, Kate doesn't have a surname, so can't say anything about her. Mitch Merry, he still hasn't changed his surname back to Perry. Jenny Munster, Emily Senegals, Amandine Urbano, Lucy Deards, Martina McManus, still not a tennis player despite the name. John and Emma, Caden Den Oudsten, definitely Dutch. James Oakley, Marcy Jacobson, Michael Hunt, Jordan Burchard, Sharif Pimp Daddy Awadali, I don't think that's his real middle name, Mike Cunningham, Craig Harris, Lydia Henderson, Livy Cropper, Scott Jones, Kelly Cannon, Amy Thomas, Becky Mayoko, Stuart McNaught, Shani Meyer, Boxel Anderson, Sarah James, Tony Michael, Jenny Robinson, Jamie Bluer, Sam Spray, and last but not least, he's back in the gang.
You.
It's big old Kieran. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am King Kiefer Morgan. No, he's changed his name too, but we don't accept that.
He's
so,
what?
Look, I am King Kiefer Morgan. King Key, because his name's Kieran. He's called himself King, you know,
okay.
Like the royal.
Like the royal, yeah.
King Key, because his name's Kieran.
Yeah.
I am King Kiefer Morgan.
To be fair, who isn't?
It is better than most of your puns.
I'll give him that. Whoa, I won't go that far.
I wonder if we can get him on an episode instead of you.
No. Don't give him that idea. Don't give anyone that idea.
Right, there's a new tier, guys. If you sign up this month now, right?
Well, I'll take a week off.
For
you're
any
paying
amount,
me enough, I'll take a week off.
For any amount of money, right? You sign up, you can be the new host.
I don't like that. That's very mean.
And I tell you what, if anybody wants to be the new host, I'll pay you. So
wow,
it's gone full. It's gone full turnaround. Yes.
Anyway, patreon.com/sappening to check out all those brilliant tiers and exclusive goodies and all that malarkey.
Yes.
But anyway, it's been a great few days with Funeral for a Friend.
Yes,
thanks again to them. I want to say thanks again for Raiders for putting up with me. And Sean, is there anyone you'd like to thank?
God. Thank you very much to God, Jesus, Allah, all the boys, all the gods.
And girls. And girls, don't discriminate.
If there's any girl gods, big shout out to them as well. Shiva. Good call, Gav. Shiva. Big shout out. Yeah, anyway, if you're a god, big shout out to you. Word of the week is...
Oh, yeah, we need the word of the week.
Looking around the room.
I reckon.
Around the room. Oh, nice. We'd like you to spell the word posable. Posable. There you go. Send that to us. on Instagram or Twitter at SappeningPod. Can we stop this episode now?
Not yet.
What about now?
Yeah, okay.
Good. Thank you very much. Sappening!
Sappening!
You're listening to Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.